Thank you for connecting to the media product of Pastor Brian Gallardo. We pray as it goes out into the nations that it empowers your faith, stirs your spirit, and pushes you towards your God-given destiny. For more information about Pastor Brian Gallardo, please log on to www.briangallardo.com.
Proverbs chapter number 22, verse 1, and the Bible said, a good name, everybody say a good name. He's a name above all names. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Loving favor rather than silver and gold. Aren't you glad we have a name that's above every name? And that name of Jesus is greater than money could. Listen, drugs can't give you what his name can give you. Come on now. Sexual, climatic sexual pleasure cannot give you what that name can give you. I know y'all ain't saying nothing. Relationships, that new car, that new house cannot give you what that good. Aren't you glad you serve a good name in Jesus? I want to preach the last installment of this series on Say His Name. Say His Name. Father, I pray that you help me to articulate what you put in me to preach tonight, and that you would do what only you could do by the gracious power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Before you're seated, reach over and touch at least two people and tell them, you got to say His name, say His name. When no one's around you, say, baby, I found you, yeah, hey. Hey, Sunday morning, you guys, I'm kicking off a new series entitled Different. God has called us to be different. So I'll be preaching about God has called us to have the different faith than the faith of the world. It's going to bless you because we're not of this world. We're from a different world. I have had the opportunity to travel all across the map, all across the globe, all around different nations. And Pastor Hart actually has taken me to Brazil several times. And we went to, he took me to Rio de Janeiro. I apologize to the guys that were with me last night. This is the only part that's going to be a recap from last night. But it's very fitting for today. And I went to Brazil. And in Brazil, in Rio de Janeiro, they have a statue which is called the Jesus the Redeemer statue. And I'm sure everybody in this room has seen it. Go ahead and put up that first picture there, guys. And how many of y'all have seen this mountain in Rio de Janeiro? I've been in this city. I took the trolley car all the way up to the peak of that mountain and stood at the base. Go ahead, guys, to the next picture. Stood at the base of the statue, Jesus the Redeemer. This statue is 98 feet tall, and from fingertip to fingertip, it's 92 feet wide, some 632 metric tons of soapstone was used to create the statue of Jesus. Now, I'm not particularly fond of heights, but this Jesus is way high up in the air. And the crazy thing about this statue is it was built almost 100 years ago. And people travel from all over the world to get to this statue, and they have the idea and the expectation that this statue is going to be there when they get there. Now, you have to understand, this statue has been through extreme climatic changes. It's been through storms. It's been through rains. It's had birds sit and poop on it. It's had other animals urine at the base of it. Kids try to climb it. People try to rappel on it. It's been through hell and high water. But there the statue remains in Rio de Janeiro at the top of that mountain peak because the statue is consistently withstood the test of time. As I was thinking about tonight, I thought, you know, the name of Jesus has been around for years in bygone generations. People have tried to burn theology. They've tried to ban Christianity. They've tried to martyr Christians. But the good thing about the name of Jesus is it's withstood the test, honey. You can burn it. You can ban it. You can bury it. But he ain't going nowhere. He is the name that's above every other name. Man can't stop his movements. Man can't keep him from doing what he said he would do. He is Yahweh. He is the Lord. He is Elohim. He is El Elyon. He is God, absolute ruler of heaven and earth. I wish somebody would say his name tonight in this room. Somebody say Jesus, Jesus. A good name. Would you agree tonight that he's got a good name? Come on. Would you agree tonight that God has proven himself to you?
Would you agree tonight that he's a good, good father? Would you agree tonight that he is a name that's above? It's easy to worship him when you realize he ain't going nowhere. It's easy when you realize he's not a deadbeat daddy. He's a daddy that always pays child support. He's a daddy that's always there when we're going through the fight of life. He's a good, good father. That's why we sing Amazing Grace. That's why we sing How Great Thou Art. Because we say his name, because he's good. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, say his name, say his name. Oh, I like we can say it when no one's around you. Isn't it good you can call on Jesus at 3 o'clock in the morning? Isn't it good when you're going through hell and everybody rejects you? There he is, right there in the midst of it, being consistent day in, day. Look at your neighbor, say his name, neighbor. I'm used to my wife preaching me on, honey. I need you tonight. Baby, I need you. I need you tonight. All right, so let's look at some names of Jesus tonight. The first name I want to go over tonight, and it's very fitting, is I taught you last week on Jehovah. Y'all remember what Jehovah was? Basically, he is absolute ruler, right? He is Jehovah Jireh. So then what that means to us is he is the absolute ruler over your poverty. If you're here tonight and you are in lack of anything, I ain't talking about money just alone. You might be in lack of healing, then you need him to provide healing for you. You might be in lack of victory, then you need him to provide deliverance to you. You might be in lack of the fire of God. Maybe you backslidden on Jesus. Maybe you don't pray like you used to, push like you used to. Honey, all you got to do is lift up your head, your heart, and your hands and call upon the one that can bring the fire. Call upon the one who can bring that blessing. Call upon the one who can bring that prosperity. He is Jehovah Jireh, the absolute ruler over your lack. Genesis chapter number 22. Now, I have always preached this, guys, as a tangible prosperity thing. And it is. He is. He blesses his saints with prosperity. Dearly beloved, he desires we all be in good health and prosper even as our soul prospers. Look at your neighbor and say, God don't want you broke. Look at behind you and say, come out that crazy theology. God don't want you broke. He wants us blessed, right? How can a broke church help poor people? A broke church can't help poor people. Only a blessed church can help poor people. But in context of where this name of God came from is found in Genesis chapter number 22. And I've always looked at it and thought about it and preached it as if Abraham was declaring, you are Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. But I want to just take a little side money trail tonight, and I want you to see this story like I saw it when I was studying for tonight. Here God, in Genesis chapter number 22, God tests Abraham. Abraham is roughly 110-ish years old, and he is with his boy, the promised son, Isaac, who was the promise of the Lord. God tells Abraham, Abraham, I want to test your faith, and I want you to take your son up on a mountain and kill him. They gather some wood together, and they put it on some type of a carrier. Abraham takes two servants with him and his son Isaac, and they're going to go up to a mountaintop to sacrifice a live being, is what he tells his son. And they go to they stretch out on the journey to go to where they're going to sacrifice a live being. Isaac is thinking an animal. You know, somewhere along the lines, we're going to find us a sheep somewhere, a lamb somewhere, a goat somewhere. It's going to be an animal with four legs, hoofs, grunts, doesn't talk in language, right? He's thinking an animal. So here goes Abraham and the three, and they're going to the mountain of the Lord. And the Bible said that Abraham stops the crew and he gets off of his animal and he tells his two servants, y'all stay right here. Me and Isaac are going to go make a sacrifice before the Lord. He puts all the firewood on his son Isaac, and his son Isaac begins to carry the firewood up to the top of the mountain. About halfway to the top of the mountain, I believe, Isaac starts thinking in the back of his head, Either my dad has gone crazy and lost his marbles, or for sure he's got something up his sleeve, because I'm not seeing any kind of sacrifice around here. Isaac is following his daddy, his mentor, his spiritual father, the one that God spoke to say, go and make me a sacrifice. It wasn't, listen, Abraham already had the sacrifice, his son. It was Isaac who was going to his death and he didn't even know it. Isaac was the one who needed the prosperity of the Lord to come, not Abraham. They get to the top of the mountain, and watch this, you guys. The Bible said that Abraham binds up Isaac with ropes. He starts to bind Isaac up. So here now is the promise of the Lord who's bound up with ropes. Then his daddy picks him up and he lays him on some wood. He's laying him down to be burnt to the ground. He lifts up a knife, and as soon as he lifts it up, heaven's open. An angel says, hold on, stop, Abraham. Abraham stops and he says, look over there in the thicket. He looks over in the thicket and there was a ram caught by its horn. Genesis chapter number 22:14. So Abraham builds an altar there, and the Bible said he called the Lord Jehovah Jireh. Now, I've got a problem, because I don't personally believe it was Isaac who had the revelation that God was provider. I believe it was Isaac who had the revelation that God was provider. Isaac was the one that was about to die. Isaac was the one that was bound up with ropes, laying upon an altar, about to be burnt to death. And some of you in this room tonight, you feel wrapped up on the inside. You feel like you are bound in the same cycle over and over, but I'm here to tell you there's a Redeemer caught in the thicket, and his deliverance is about to take place of your bondage. He is Jehovah Jireh, the God who rules over your lack. I'm thankful today that the God who provided for Isaac is about to provide deliverance for you. Laid upon an altar. Altar is where fire takes place. Oh, he's bound up on an altar. Bound up where fire takes place. At the top of a mountain. And some of you who are here today, you feel like Isaac, because Isaac was the victim. That's what a sacrifice is. A sacrifice is a victim. It wasn't Isaac's fault he was there. The man of God put him there. His daddy put him there. Bound him up, y'all. Crazy. He was crazy. Like, if they had Prozac, then he needed it. Like, if you heard something in your ear say, go and sacrifice your kid. The devil is alive. I want you to bind up Olivia with ropes, put her on an altar, and kill her. That's a devil. Can you imagine being Isaac? But see, some of you are Isaac right now. Because you're on top of a fire. And everything in your life right now, you're going through the greatest storm of your life and you can't see the way out. You're going through the greatest obstacles of your life and you can't see your way out. You feel like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire, in the fiery furnace, and you don't know what's going to happen. I'm here to tell you, just like when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was in the fire, just like when Isaac was on the fire with the three Hebrew children, the Bible said Jesus was in the fire. When Isaac was laid out on the fire, there was Jesus in the thicket. If God was provider for them, God will be provider for you. Come on, if you need God to do something in your life, you're weighing with lack in an area, I dare you to stand up and call on the name Jehovah Jireh. Come on, you may need healing, you may need deliverance, you may need prosperity. Call upon that name. Come on, praise his name. Praise Jireh. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say the name, say the name. He's Jehovah Jireh. Come on, some of you in this room need Jehovah Jireh. Can you imagine the worry? Can you imagine the worry of Isaac? I would be scared to death. You're tied up, you ain't going nowhere. You're laid on a place where he saw growing up dead bodies be consumed by fire. He sees a look in his daddy's eye. Right? I come to sacrifice your body. Isaac had to be scared. I bet you he's like a fainting goat. For enjoyment and pleasure, I like to watch fainting goats on YouTube. It is hilarious. Please don't write me nasty emails. It's just what it is. Okay, so here is Isaac. Can you imagine? Isaac, you're never going to get into your destiny. My untied shoe's driving y'all crazy, isn't it? Here's Isaac wondering. It was driving me crazy too, so it's all right. She's like, oh, your shoe's untied, bro. Here's Isaac. He's on the altar. Just imagine for just a minute. Scared out of his mind. I think he still thought his dad needs something medicated after that, because, I mean, that was like PTSD to a whole nother level. I'm sure what was running through his mind is, you're never going to make it. You're never going to get to where God called you to get. You ain't never going to have what God told you was going to have. Come on. You ain't never going to reach hope. You about to die, Isaac. You ever been there? You ever been there? They ain't going to want you. You're a single mama. You ever been there? They ain't going to want you. You nasty. You failed too many times. You ever been there before? You need to hold your head in shame because you failed and you were miserable too many times. You ever been there before? You're going to die. Nobody wants you. Nobody cares about you. Nobody thinks anything about you other than what you are. Nothing but a dirty ball of trash. Anybody been there before? Isaac's on the altar. Bound. But all of a sudden, there's some noise in the thicket. And I promise you, when Isaac heard the angel say, "Stop, Abraham. Look in the thicket," Isaac was like, "Boy, yeah! Daddy, 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 look, look, daddy, it's right, daddy." But he was like, couldn't point because he was bound up. I wonder what the conversation was coming down the mountain. I'm like, "Daddy, I'll follow you. You ain't following me no more. You just walked away. I'm following you." Like, how did he get bound up in the first place? We're going to play a game, son. It's called rope, jump rope. Hold this in. I'm going to go in a circle. I mean, there were some trust levels broken there. But Isaac got a revelation. See, don't fight God when you're going through fires of life. James said, "Count it all joy when you face trials of many kind." Why? Because it's doing something to your faith. You're going to see God in a way you never saw him before, Isaac. You're going to see him as a God who provides while you're in the valley. Whatever you need, Isaac, he's a provider. Whatever you're going through, Isaac, you ought to just name your cat Isaac. You need to go home and rename your cat Isaac as a prophetic declaration of what God, if you have a cat, we'll have. So Isaac, where you at, Isaac? Some of you Isaacs are in the room right now. I can see it in your face. I'm talking right to you. Why am I going through this hill? I'm just going to camp right here for a minute. Why am I going through this hardship, preacher? We come to church, we get excited, we get in the car, and it's hell. God's about to show you a ram in the thicket. I heard one preacher say when I was growing up, God can't ever show you he's a healer till you get sick. God can't ever show you he's a deliverer until you're bound. God can't show you joy unspeakable and full of glory until you get depressed. Well, does God make me sick? Does God make me bound? Does God make me depressed? No, but he's the answer. He is the solution. He is the name above cancer. Come on now. He is the name above depression. He's trying to show you himself tonight. Look, you can just give your neighbor a high five and say, "Isaac." All right, sit down. Number two. What time is it? I got to hurry. Number two. He is Jehovah, absolute ruler. Shalom. He is Jehovah, absolute ruler, shalom. Here's what this means. He is the Lord over your chaos. Right? How many's ever gone through something in life? How many's ever felt like you was walking through a hailstorm and a tornado warning and the sirens were going off? That's just where you felt like you was at, right? Do you know that when you walk with God, people text me during church, cracks me up. Do you know that when you walk with God and you go through hell, you can still find peace in the midst of the hell that you go through? Hello, somebody. You can still find an oasis in the desert, is what I'm trying to tell you. You can still find the eye in the middle of the hurricane when you're going through life's struggles. Yeah. Because he is Jehovah. I feel like preaching tonight in this. Judges chapter 6. The children of Israel did evil, the Bible said, in the eyes of God. No one here is guilty of that, but they were. And the Lord delivered them, and the Lord gave them into the hands of the Midianites and the Amalekites for 7 years. 7 years. They would plant crops, and the Midianites and Amalekites would come and steal all their crops before they could come. And the Bible said they looked like a swarm of locusts coming upon the children of Israel. The children of Israel, they would go up into the mountaintops and make dens and live like red ravaging wolves. And the Bible said they were impoverished because of this oppression. Broken. Busted. 7 years go by. And the Bible said they begin to cry out to the Lord. Here's a small revelation. Don't make it 7 years if you walk away from God and you need him to do something for you in an instant. Repent quickly. Lower your pride. Tell the Lord, I'm wrong, Jesus. Right? Right? Come on, somebody. I'm going through all this hell. Have you repented? No, I'm my own man. I can do what I want to do. Keep going through hell. Honey, I hope you're shouting right now. Every time the children of Israel would cry out to God, it seemed like it got worse. But there was a man by the name of Gideon. Bible said Gideon was minding his own business, but he loved God. And an angel showed up to God and said, Gideon, I want you to go and you're going to knock out this whole tribe of people. He said, God, I don't know about that now. He said, I heard that story about Abraham. I thought Abraham was crazy. They're going to think I'm crazy. He said, I want you to form an army, but it's going to be a small army. Not many people. And you're going to wipe out all the Amalekites and Midianites that stand before you. Gideon, your Bible said, became very overwhelmed and asked God to show him fleeces. Y'all remember? Give me fleeces, God. A lot of you in this room are right where Gideon is. You trust God? You hunger for God? Look right here. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is my peace. To this day, peace remains there. A lot of you who are here tonight feel like Gideon because you're going through hell in your mind. Life is giving you struggle after struggle after struggle, whirlwind after whirlwind after whirlwind. And you say, Pastor, how can I? It was the cry of Gideon. Gideon struggled. But the good thing about this story is that breakthrough was released. You know where breakthrough came for Gideon? It wasn't in the fight. It was before he ever stepped one foot on the soil. For Gideon, breakthrough came right here. And right here. You know why? Because Gideon found a place of peace and a painful place. And tonight, you may be in a hardship. You may be in a hard place. You that are watching may not know what's going to happen tomorrow. Call upon the name of Shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. The God, our peace, who is the ruler of the chaos. Aren't you thankful today that the chaos isn't Lord? Aren't you thankful today that the whirlwind isn't Lord? Aren't you thankful today that the naysayers are not God? There is but one Jehovah, and he is Jehovah. Shalom. If you need peace in the situation you're in right now, you ought to stand up on your feet, put your hands together, and begin to love upon Jehovah Shalom. Come on, love on him in the midst of that valley. Come on, love on him. He is Jehovah Shalom. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just thank him for just a minute. We thank you, Father. Number three, he is also, and there's way more. These are the only ones I picked out for tonight. And this is my last one because I got to conclude here. He is Jehovah Roi, which means the Lord who is my shepherd, or the one who is my absolute ruler, ruling me and leading me throughout this life's pilgrimage. You say, how do we know what a good shepherd is? I'm so glad you guys asked tonight. You're the best church preaching. You always talk back in a good way to me. And so we're going to flip over here to the description chapter of the Bible that describes what a shepherd is. Let's look quickly here at Psalm chapter 23. How many's ever read Psalm 23 before? All right. That's good. You should read it if you haven't. The Lord, capitalized L, capitalized O, capital R, capitalized D, which is Jehovah, Yahweh. Jehovah is my shepherd, right? Here's the first thing a shepherd does. He causes you not to be in want. Woo! It doesn't say he causes you not to be in need. Because needs and wants are two different things. Like you need food, right? You need shelter. Come on, somebody. Why y'all looking at me like I'm crazy, some of you? You ain't about to preach. I had a guy tell me, do you always preach prosperity? I was, well, do you want to be broke? I don't like broke. I tried it. I don't like it. I haven't tried rich yet, but I'm pretty sure when I try it, I'll like it. Oprah Winfrey said, it ain't always good to be rich, so I like to try it for a day. Let me be my own judge of that. Amen? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. Everybody shout want. That means once. That means, what do you want? What do you want? Hello, somebody. McFly, is this on? Bueller, anyone? What do you want? I got some things I want. I want some land for me. I want some trails for some four-wheelers that I want. That I want, honey, I said it. Stop trying to fight me. She's trying to fight me on it. Just kidding. I love you, honey. But a good shepherd gives you not only what you need, but also what you want. Come on, if you ever look at a farmer ain't like putting a cow just in a little pen with only food and water. He lets him roam the grass. He lets him have a big red barn that he paints with white fencing and white X's and stuff, trims. He lets the animal go where he, do what he wants, eat what he wants to eat, lay down where he wants to lay down. We got a good shepherd, right? Come on, we got a good shepherd who not only gives us what we need, but he gives us what we want. So I don't believe that preacher. Well, keep on believing it and stay broke. He gives me what I want because he's a good, good shepherd. All right, he makes me to lie down where? I'm glad it doesn't say brown or rotten. He's a good shepherd. He makes me to lie down in rotten weeds that smell like reefer smoked. No, he lays us down in green, something fresh, right? He leads us down, he leads us and allows us to partake of what's good. I'm glad I get to partake of what's good. In my prayer life, Lord, let my prayer life partake of what's good. When I'm reading the word, speak to me and let me partake of what's good. God, shield me from, I don't want no bad. I don't want to belong to badder. I want to belong to gooder. Make me to go the route of the gooder. He's a good shepherd. He leads me by still waters. Still waters means tranquility. right? You know when the disciples were in the boat and the storm was raging and Jesus came walking out like it was a thriller movie or Friday the 13th or Halloween, and they were scared and they said, oh, it is a ghost. A man was walking on the water, and they freaked out, got scared. He steps in the boat and he says, be quiet. And the storm stopped. Do you know if you look up the word be quiet in the Greek, those two words, it's a combined word that means shh. And some of you need a lot of shh going on in your life. Come on. You need a lot of stillness in your life. Some of y'all need to learn how to rest in the Lord. Come on. You've got too much drama, self-induced. Too much trauma, self-imposed. You need to let Pookie and them go bye-bye. Bye, Felicia. Get the drama out of your life and let peace come into your life. He leads us by still waters. If whatever's leading you has drama in it, that ain't Jesus. That's self-induced. You don't need much prayer for that. All you need to do is let go of that. Pastor, you pray these people are driving me nuts. By people who are driving me nuts. He leads us by still waters. That feels good in here tonight. I'm having fun. Okay. He restores. Oh, this isn't for none of us, though, Lord. He restores my emotions. Has anybody ever felt like you just wanted to go up in your room, shut the door, smash your TV, smash your phone, and tell the world, leave me alone! That's not healthy. But he restores. To restore means that which was became broken, let's put it back. He restores our emotions, right? Some of y'all need some emotions to be restored tonight, because I see it in your faces. You're laughing at me when I'm talking about this. What you need is some more of that laughter, because the Bible said laughter doeth good like a medicine. Some of y'all need to take a big old giant pill of laughter tonight and let your soul be restored. Well, Pastor, they made me mad. No, you let them make you mad. They made me upset, Pastor. You don't know how crazy. Well, you shouldn't have been hanging out with them. That's why you got upset. You need to let them go and realize that you don't need to be that bound by them people. Your soul needs to be restored. Come on, somebody. Some of you need to get the spirit of scissors upon you and cut some people loose off that is binding you and pulling you. Some of your emotions are like on a puppet string and you place that into somebody else's hand. You need to get some scissors out and release yourself from them and be the person God called you to be. He restores our emotions. Isn't this good? Okay. He leads me down paths of righteousness. Now, I did some study on this. And it actually, what if you look, he leads me down paths that are straight. Some of you keep going like this in life. Detour, 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 detour. Oh, I dated him, shouldn't have dated him. Oh, I dated her, shouldn't have dated her. Oh, Lord Jesus. I'm $12,000 in debt with Visa just because I wanted a car, and now I'm paying it. I can't even afford it. No, a good shepherd, like a straight arrow, leads you. Pastor Parsley always tell me, don't be led by any other thing but the peace that's in your heart. If you don't have peace within it, it's a side trail. Come on, and we all know when it ain't right. Come on. Your mind might be saying yes, and your body might be saying no, or however it goes, but just because you feel that way don't necessarily mean it's right. He leads us down straight paths. For what? His namesake. Uh-oh. Yea, though I walk through hell. What it means. It doesn't mean like, let's say this at a funeral because they have now gone through the valley of the shadow of death. No, it means even though I walk through painful hardships, Daniel in the lion's den experience, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery experience, even though I walk through that, I won't stop and build a condo. Open up rental rooms, increase the rates. Why? Because, help me out here, guys. Why? How? I will fear no evil. Why should we not fear? Come on. Because what? Because who's there? Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is present. That's another one. Because he's there. When we go through hell, guys, all we got to do is say, Jesus. That's a crash course in prayer. We just have to call upon his name. Jesus. His rod comforts me. You know what a rod does? It does two things, but one I won't focus on tonight for sake of time. A rod beats off the enemy. Smashes him upside the head. And some of you are trying to stop the enemy when you need to let Jesus do it. Come on, somebody. I told the guys last night there was a shepherd who went over to Israel to get a better understanding of what a real shepherd does with the sheep. And he was with the guy, and he looked out the window of the hotel they were staying in, and he said, why is that shepherd walking behind driving those sheep? The guy laughed, and he looked at me and said, that's no shepherd at all. That's a butcher. And see, some of you tonight, you're letting the butcher push you, the enemy. You're letting the butcher drive you instead of allowing him to lead you. Because when he leads you, his staff knocks the enemy upside the head. And his staff then gets around your neck and pulls you closer to his heart. That's how it comforts you. Amen now. I like this one. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my haters. God's about to give some of you in this room vindication for all the haters that talked about you. And some of it might have even been true, probably was. But God's about to vindicate you because he's a good, good father and he's a good, good shepherd. Come on, somebody. I know they talked about you, treated you like a dirty dog, said you'd never be nothing, never go nowhere, but vindication is coming. Why? Because he is Jehovah Rohi. He is the Lord God who's a shepherd and he loves his babies. He's leading you out. You know what he's going to do? He's going to do it right in their face as if to say, yeah, it may have been true, but they have relied upon me. Vindication's coming because I am their daddy. He's a good, good shepherd. All right, stand to your feet with me. I'm closing. Look what Rohi does. You anoint my head with oil, fresh moves of the Holy Spirit. My cup runneth over. Guys, God wants to give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. I want you to look over your left shoulder. Come on, do it real quick. Look over your left shoulder. Look over your right shoulder. Come on, look back over your right shoulder. Look behind you. You say, what are you doing, Pastor Brian? That was a prophetic declaration to change your mind. So you come up in here to know tonight and leave knowing tonight that goodness is what's going to start following you. Mercy is what's going to start following you. To hell with the devil. To hell with badness. To hell with judgmentalness. Goodness and mercy is going to follow you all the days of your life. That's what a good Rohi does. Right? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why do I love the house of God? God, I find my shepherd there. He speaks to me in the house of God. Tonight I was getting revelation tonight while I was preaching to you because God was speaking to me right here in the house of the Lord. I know by the Spirit of God tonight that some of you here today are extremely beat down, carrying a load you're not meant to carry. Being driven, I'm not talking about, you know, I told them last night, there's a difference between having a drive and being driven. What do you mean, Pastor Brian? When you're full of anxiety and pressure about tomorrow, you are being driven, right? When there's an excitement about what you're about to do in your purpose, that's a drive. Don't let the butcher drive you. Let Jesus lead you. He is our provider. He is our peace. And he is our shepherd. Isn't he good?